I thought the girls would be here, and they, we'd been around the old city yesterday and looked down on the Garden of Gethsemane, and they saw a little passing of the place of the skull, and I wanted to go afterwards to the garden tomb, and I just thought I would read about that. But they don't feel able to come in. Well, I thought I would just read a little about that, and not an ordinary Bible study today at all. But I thought that we would just take it up. It was after, now, they had had the final Passover Jesus had had with his disciples. And he took the Passover at the time they always take it. Now, he was killed on that same day, but he was killed on a later time of the day. The Romans put him to death, and they didn't follow and do it at the same exact time. But what Christ did to the Passover, he did at the same hour of the day that it had always been. Right after sunset, that sunset began the Passover. Now, the next day was the annual Sabbath day following the Passover. But that didn't begin until after another sunset, a whole 24 hours later. A lot of people are all mixed up on that, and it can't be any other way. Now, after the Passover, Jesus spoke to them for quite a while in the 15th chapter of the book of John, you know, and the 16th chapter. And then the 17th chapter of John records Jesus' final prayer in front of them. And then they all went out to the Garden of Gethsemane. Now, that was pointed out to us yesterday. It's down, as you go on the road from up around the temple and from our dig, and between there and the Mount of Olives, you look down, way down below, and there's some very beautiful olive trees over across there, and that is the Garden of Gethsemane. And I've been in that garden. It is still, to this day, a beautiful place. And some of those trees were there in the time of Christ, because olive trees grow to be just almost the oldest of all trees. I don't know whether they grow older than redwood and sequoia trees or not. But the redwood and sequoias will grow to be 4,000 years old. But olive trees, the upper branches will finally grow old and rot and fall off, but the roots and everything and the stem of the trunk stays there, and a new trunk comes up and new branches. And time after time that happens. And they go on living for a long, long time. So olive trees have a special use. That's another reason that olive oil is often a type of God's Holy Spirit, because it comes from the olive tree, which almost has everlasting life. You see, it is very, very long life, and God's Spirit is the type of everlasting life. Well, anyway, while they were in the Garden of Gethsemane, I'm going to pick it up right there at that point, in the 18th chapter of John. When Jesus had spoken these words, he went forth with his disciples over the brook Kedron. Now, that's down at the bottom. That's the little stream that runs down there at the bottom between the Mount of Olives and the road that we're on when we're going past the Temple Mount there, where was a garden. Now, other Matthew or Mark or Luke will mention that that is the Garden of Gethsemane, and there are some very beautiful olive trees and very ancient olive trees there, into which Jesus entered and his disciples, and Judas also, which betrayed him, knew the place, for Jesus oft times resorted thither with his disciples. Judas then, having received a band of men and officers from the chief priests and the Pharisees. Now, remember, they're the religious men, but they wanted to kill Christ. And I'm going to take just a minute now to explain that Jesus came preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God, a gospel where the kingdom of God is going to rule over all nations of the earth. And all of the governments that are existing on the earth at the time will become ruled by the kingdom of God and by Christ. Now, the Pharisees and many of the Sadducees had political offices. At that time, the Roman Empire ruled the world, and when Israel originally was in this land, and before the 10 tribes were taken out and all of that, that was before even the big empire of Babylon, the first world empire, had even been formed. In other words, that was more than 700 years earlier. But now a lot of things have happened by the time of Christ, and the Roman Empire was now ruling. Now, the Roman Empire set the Pharisees, a religious denomination or sect of Judaism, and set them in offices of government in the lower echelon offices to rule the people. Now, they sent a few. They sent a governor, or he was often called a local king, as Herod was, to rule. And they had 2 or 3 garrisons of soldiers sent over here in different places, and just in case they were needed. But they didn't really ever need to use them, and I know they hoped they wouldn't need to use them, and they really never did need to use them. But they set in all of the many lower jobs of government, they set these Pharisees and Sadducees. Now, they were well-paying jobs, and it gave them high prestige. They not only were spiritual leaders, they were government leaders. And they thought Jesus was preaching the overthrow of Caesar. They thought Jesus now was a subversive and teaching the overthrow of Caesar's government. And they knew he was the Christ. They knew he was the Messiah. Actually, the Jews today don't know that. They've been taught differently between then and now. But those Pharisees did know the Messiah was to be born as a baby and grow up. And they knew that Jesus was the Christ. Nicodemus said that, as you'll find in the 3rd chapter of John. But they thought he was preaching subversion, and they thought their heads would be lopped off, and they would lose their jobs, and they would probably be imprisoned and then killed as subversives and enemies of the government. And that's why they wanted to let the higher-up Roman rulers know that they were on the side of Rome and not on the side of Christ, and they wanted to kill him. They also knew he was human and that he could be put to death, and so they wanted to kill him. Now, they had plotted with Judas and paid him 30 pieces of silver to come and identify Jesus. That shows they didn't know what Jesus looked like. He looked like any other Jew of the time. They had to have a man come and identify which one of those Jews was Jesus. So here we come to that point right here. Judas also, which betrayed him, knew the place, for Jesus oftentimes resorted thither with his disciples. Judas then, having received a band of men and officers from the chief priests and the Pharisees, now you see, it was the top religious people that were back of all of this and wanting to kill Christ, the chief priests and the Pharisees, cometh thither with lanterns and torches and weapons. Now they were armed, and they came after him just like an armed group came after us almost 2 years ago of the government. Jesus, therefore, knowing all things that should come upon him, went forth and said unto them, Whom seek ye? And they answered him, Jesus of Nazareth. And Jesus said unto them, I am. Now you notice in your Bible, it says, I am he, but the word he is in italic. You see that? The he was not originally written. They have supplied that. When this was written by John, he did not write that. And Jesus did not say, I am he. Jesus said, I am. Now you go back to the time of Moses. And Moses said at the burning bush, well, look, if I've got to go to Pharaoh, how am I going to know? If I try to tell him God sent me, how will I tell him who God is? And God said to him, tell him, I am sent you. God's name is I Am, or Yahweh means the ever-living, the self-existent one, the eternal, the one who lives eternally. And when he said, I am, he was saying he was God. I am is the name of God. It's the same as Yahweh, the ever-living, the eternal, the self-existent one. There is no word in the English language that exactly translates it. That's why I use the word eternal wherever God is used in the Old Testament a great deal. So that's what he answered. Now notice what happened. And Judas also, which... Now this doesn't mention here, but Luke and Matthew will mention, or one of them, that Judas came and gave him a Judas kiss, greeted him with a kiss, and he told him that whoever he would kiss, that would be Jesus. But John doesn't mention that. Judas, who betrayed him, stood with them. As soon as Jesus had said unto them, I am, they went backward and fell to the ground. They fell over backward. They knew he was saying, I am God. Now, as I was explaining, the Pharisees knew all along that Jesus was the Messiah. They knew he was God in the human flesh. But they thought that when he preached the gospel of the kingdom of God, and the earth-wide rule of the government of God, that he was a subversive in preaching that he was going to overthrow Caesar and the Roman Empire. They had government positions in all of the lower echelons of government of the Roman Empire, and they were afraid for their lives and afraid they would lose their jobs and be called and arrested as subversives. That's why they wanted to kill Jesus. They thought more of their jobs than they did of the Messiah, even though they knew who he was. Now, since then, the Jews have denied that that was Jesus, and they say he was an imposter. But those Jews then, they knew that was not an imposter. They knew he was God. And still, they wanted to kill him. And since then, they have taught, and they're all mixed up. They don't know what to do about the Passover. They don't keep the Passover. They keep the days of unleavened bread. And the night to be much remembered or to be much observed, they observe and call it the Passover, the Jews do. I've observed the Passover and that festival here in this country about 4 or 5 times in the last 12 years. So, now, as soon as he said, I am, they went backward and fell to the ground. They were really shocked. They knew whose presence they were in. But they also knew he had come in the human flesh and they could put him to death. Then answered he them, Whom seek ye? And they answered, Jesus of Nazareth. They must have been trembling by this time. Jesus answered, I have told you that I am. If therefore ye seek me, let these go their way. Now, they came with armed guards, just like the government came with armed guards against God's church almost 2 years ago now. And there is a parallel that I'm going to bring out as we go along. That the saying might be fulfilled, which he spake, of them which thou gavest me, I have lost none. Then Simon Peter, having a sword, drew it and smote the high priest's servant and cut off his right ear. And the servant's name was Malchus. Then said Jesus to Peter, put up thy sword into the sheath. The cup which my Father hath given me, shall I not drink it? Now, Matthew or Luke or both will explain how Jesus put the ear back on and healed it instantly. That's why they didn't do more to him about that right then. He healed that immediately. But John doesn't mention that. Then the band and the captain and the officers of the Jews took Jesus and bound him. Now, there was Jesus, their very creator and maker, and now they bound him. I just want you to notice what they were willing to do to their own creator. And led him away to Annas first, for he was father-in-law to Caiaphas, which was the high priest that same year. Now, Annas was the father-in-law of the high priest. Caiaphas was the priest. Now, Caiaphas was he which gave counsel to the Jews that it was expedient that one man should die for the people. And he was the high priest. Now, just look what he was saying. And Simon Peter followed Jesus, and so did another disciple. That disciple was known unto the high priest, and went in with Jesus into the palace of the high priest. That was all over here within the walled city. But Peter stood at the door without. Then went out that other disciple, which was known unto the high priest, and spake unto her that kept the door. They had a female doorkeeper, and brought in Peter. Then saith the damsel that kept the door unto Peter, art not thou one of this man's disciples? And he said, I am not. Peter began to deny Jesus. It shows how human Peter was before he received the Holy Spirit. And the servant and the officer stood there who had made a fire of coals, for it was cold, getting rather chilly, and it's still early enough in the spring that it wasn't warm yet, and it was night. And they warmed themselves, and Peter stood with them and warmed himself. The high priest then asked Jesus of his disciples, and asked Jesus of his disciples, about his disciples, and of his doctrine. And Jesus answered him, I spake openly to the world. I even taught in the synagogue and in the temple, whither the Jews always resort, and in secret have I said nothing. Why askest thou me? Ask them which heard me what I have said unto them. Behold, they know what I said. And when he had thus spake, one of the officers which stood by struck Jesus with the palm of his hand, saying, Answerest thou the high priest so? Jesus answered, If I have spoken evil, bear witness of the evil. But if well, why smitest thou me? I would say the Attorney General attacked us. And I said, If I have done evil, accuse me of the evil. and put me on trial for the evil. But if not, why do you smite us? Why do you come and try to take us over and do all of this? You notice the parallel here. Now, there's one difference. Jesus didn't have to die. And he wouldn't have died except that he had come for that purpose, to die for us. He only had to die for you and for me and the rest of the world. He didn't have to die for himself. He never committed anything. He had never done one thing that he had to die for. And we had not done one thing they accused us of either. Jesus would have resisted. Jesus would not have allowed them to do this. He did it only for us. He did it to give his life for us. That's what he came for from heaven, to die. Now the time had come, he had to do it. But when Paul was put on trial, he refused to go to trial up at Jerusalem. He said, I appeal to Rome. Paul did just what we've done. Now, some of our former members would have said, well, we should have caved in. They said, Jesus gave in. Why shouldn't we give in? But Jesus came to die for the rest of us. We're not dying for anybody. There's quite a difference when you understand it. Now, Annas had sent him bound unto Caiaphas, the high priest. And Simon Peter stood and warmed himself. Then said, they said therefore unto him, art not thou also one of his disciples? He denied it and said, I am not. Now, that's twice he's denied Jesus here within just a few minutes. One of the servants of the high priest, being his kinsman, whose ear Peter cut off, said, did not I see thee in the garden with him? Peter then denied again, and immediately the cock crew. It was getting on near enough toward morning that the rooster crowed. And instantly the cock crew. That's what Jesus said before, the cock will crow in the morning, you will deny me three times. Then led they Jesus from Caiaphas unto the hall of judgment, and it was early. And they themselves went not unto the judgment hall, lest they should be denied or defiled, and that they might eat the Passover. Now, they were going to take the Passover later. Christ had already had the Passover with his disciples. You see, this shows that they were then taking the Passover the night of the feast night, to be much observed. Pilate then went out unto them and said, what accusation bring ye against this man? And they answered and said unto him, if he were not a malefactor, we would not have delivered him unto thee. Then said Pilate unto them, take ye him and judge him according to your law. The Jews therefore said unto him, it is not lawful for us to put any man to death. That the saying of Jesus might be fulfilled, which he spake, signifying by what death he should die. Then Pilate entered into the judgment hall again, and that the courtroom, in other words, and called Jesus and said unto him, art thou the king of the Jews? Jesus answered him, sayest thou this thing of thyself, or did others tell it thee of me? Pilate answered, am I a Jew? See, there was anti-Semitism even then. They were hating Jews. Am I a Jew? Thine own nation and chief priests have delivered thee unto me. What hast thou done? And Jesus answered, My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight, and I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now is my kingdom not from hence, or not from here. Pilate therefore said unto him, Art thou a king then? Jesus answered, Thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Every one that is of the truth heareth my voice. They hear his voice. They believe what he says. A lot of people believe on Christ, but they don't believe what he says. Oh, what a difference there is. And people don't realize that difference. Pilate said unto him, What is truth? And when he had said this, he went out again unto the Jews and said unto them, I find in him no fault at all. But ye have a custom that I should release unto you one at the Passover. Will you therefore that I release unto you the king of the Jews? And then cried they all again, saying, Not this man, but Barabbas. Now Barabbas was a robber. He was a real criminal. Now we come to chapter 19. Then Pilate, therefore, took Jesus and scourged him, and he was beaten to suffer our physical pains and sicknesses and diseases, that we could be healed through the Holy Spirit instead of through drugs and medicines. People don't believe that today. They don't believe the things of God. And the soldiers platted a crown of thorns and put it on his head, and they put on him a purple robe. Purple is the color of royalty. And this was all done to mock and make fun of him. Their own creator, the man who was now letting them put him to death, and he was dying for them. That someday, in their judgment when it comes, this was Christ's judgment, but their judgment is coming. And they will have a chance to be saved then.